You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, look, I hope everybody, as always, I say it every time I come on air, hope everybody had a great week. I hope y'all are staying hydrated, man. It's hot out there. I mean, I stepped outside and just went to my car. Felt like I was getting ready to melt out here in this sun down here in Georgia, aka Hot Atlanta. But wherever you are, man, honestly, throughout the South, I know y'all are feeling what I'm feeling because it's been crazy out here this week. But it's been a long week, but nevertheless, it's been a good, productive week. So a lot of good things have come from this weekend. Excited about this weekend. It's finally Friday. Thank God. We made it to the end, and it's time to kick back, relax, and not too much longer. We'll have some time to relax and look, enjoy some football, enjoy whatever it is that you want to enjoy this weekend. I know what I'll be doing. But with that being said, glad to be back on the air with you all and excited to talk about what we have to talk about today, because preseason football is here. NFL preseason kicked off last night. We know we had the Hall of Fame game the other weekend. My apologies, I didn't get a chance to come on air last week and talk about that. But that was one of the craziest, honestly, the best Hall of Fame game I've ever seen between the Panthers and the Cardinals. And yeah, football, you know, in the preseason can be tough to watch, but I mean, it came all the way down to the last play. If you didn't see the highlights, man, literally the Panthers scored on the last play of the game. Haynes King took it into the end zone. Really like a thriller, which we don't expect to come out of a preseason game. So if you hadn't seen it, I would encourage you to go check out the highlights for that one, because you did miss a good one. So. But with that being said, again, like I said, NFL preseason, it did kick off last night on Thursday. We had some matchups, so I'll just kind of run down those scores, not getting too in-depth into the statistics side of it, but just wanted to give you a snapshot of what those scores were and how that turned out. And look, before that, man, look, if y'all can't tell, man, I'm excited, man. I got my Caleb Williams jersey on, got it on backwards. You know, I kind of feel like Fresh Prince when he flipped his jacket inside out. You know, that's just how I feel right now, man. That's what football does to me. I don't know what it does to you, but I'm feeling reversing my jersey just kind of expresses how excited I am about this year. So, look, I couldn't explain, the feeling that I felt watching, preseason football last night, even though, again, like I said, tough to watch because it's not great football, but football is football at the end of the day. But with that being said, let's just kind of recap on what those scores were from last night's matchup. So you had the Lions on the road against the Bengals. The Bengals won that game 16-14. You had the Steelers knock off the Green Bay Packers 28-9, something that I personally enjoyed watching the Packers lose. I don't care if it's preseason or not. I'm hate watching every team in my division. So Lions lost, Packers lost. You had the Patriots and the Colts actually finish in a tie, 13-13. You had the Chargers knock off the Texans 27-7. The Cardinals knocked off the Raiders 27-14. And then the Titans got the win over the 49ers 19-13. So again, those were the scores from last night's preseason matchup. And then tonight, we don't have any games, but tomorrow's matchups, just to give you guys some insight into those, you have the Browns coming to Chicago to face against my Bears. You got the Vikings against the Giants, Panthers, Bills, Jaguars, Saints, Rams, Chiefs, Eagles, Ravens, Cowboys, and Seahawks to wrap up Saturday's matchup. So, again, wanted to just give you guys some recap of those scores and then talk about the upcoming matchups for this weekend. So, again, couldn't be more excited about being able to sit and watch some football. With that being said, let's kind of transition here and talk about, you know, the when it comes to training camp, there's been, you know, quite a bit of injuries that have happened recently. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people. I just really kind of wanted to touch on this real quick because I've seen a lot of people talk about, hey, you know, should these coaches dial back the intensity of practices, you know, and because of the recent, you know, training camp injuries and, you know, especially specifically the star players. I know for my Bears specifically, our star safety, Kobe Bryant, that came over from Seattle, you know, he got injured and he's going to be out 4 to 6 months now. So that was a big blow for us. But we did bring in some veteran help in Xavier Woods at the safety position. So that's going to be, you know, important for him to be a mentor alongside our rookie safety, Dylan Thienemann. So Kobe Bryant could be expected to come back around December, you know, around December. I think that's the earliest 4 months. December would be the earliest he could come back. Other than that, it'd be February, which you all know that's around Super Bowl time. So if we happen to get that far, so fingers crossed. But you know, him, and I know Luther Burden, he had a groin strain that he dealt with for us as well. He's expected to be ready for week one. So he's just sitting out there the rest of the preseason. And there's a whole, you know, other list of injuries that we're going through. But not just my Bears. It's across the league, you know. Even most recently, you know, you had a lot of players go down over the past even 24 hours. 24 hours. Honestly, over the past, like, week and a half or 2 weeks. So the question poses itself, should the coaches dial back the intensity? Me personally, I would say no. You know, I think that when you're the head coach of a football team, you have to establish an identity. You want to emphasize intensity. The fact of the matter is, and the reality of it is that injuries happen. This is the NFL. A lot of the injuries that, you know, happen and stuff like that throughout training camp, a good bit of them, most of the players, had it been a game, they probably would have gone back into the game. They probably wouldn't sit out. Now, not all of these injuries. Some of these are actually legit serious. But I know that there's panic anytime, you know, a fan or we see a report that a player limped off or they got banged up or something like that. Everybody's kind of, you know, goes into panic mode. But I think that, you know, my head coach, you know, for the Chicago Bears, Ben Johnson, he said it, you know, he said it best. Look, intensity, you need to establish that in practice, because when you get into a real live game situation, you don't want to come out there soft because y'all were playing touch football in practice. No, like, pads are on. It's time to go. Like, we got to get to it because this is a long season. 17 games. It's a long season. So you want to be able to establish and get that, you know, set in stone early. Now, I'm not saying have guys go out here and kill each other. But again, from an aggression standpoint, from a football standpoint, yeah, you want the intensity there. So I don't think coaches should dial it back. Players may be necessarily, you know, in certain situations, maybe kind of be cognizant of how you're tackling, whatever it may be. Don't go low on a guy. Or if you're, you know, obviously you don't hit the quarterback. Anybody who's played football knows that in practice you don't hit the quarterback. So that's a given. But yeah, I just wanted to kind of quickly touch on that. I don't think that you want to dial back the intensity. It's just, you know, the unfortunate nature of the business is that injuries do happen. So, that's kind of my thoughts on that. But let's transition here. Let's talk about some breaking news. Really, you know, not necessarily breaking news, but breaking because I'm getting the opportunity to kind of talk about it now. It just literally recently happened the other day. But Russell Westbrook has announced that he's retiring from the NBA after 18 seasons, and he also was with 7 teams throughout his tenure. He did announce his retirement. Again, a couple of days ago on Wednesday, I said breaking news, but it's only because I'm reporting it now on my show here. But in his post, he said, look, sometimes you don't even know when you're already watched the end. And then he said, you had to be there and now it's over. And this was a pretty much a video. That was a couple of quotes from his post. But there was a video that was narrated by Michael B. Jordan, my dog. Shout out to Michael B. He was narrating this video for Russell Westbrook. And again, what Russell Westbrook, 37 years old, a lot of impact on the league. And he did have offers from the Kings and the Wizards. But he chose to step away from the game on his own, which I think is a very brave and a very professional thing to do. You know, being able to and a great thing as well, being able to step away from something on your own terms and not due to injury or something, you know, some unforeseen circumstance is always the way you kind of want to, you know, you want to go out. Some players, you know, some players, when it comes to the game they love, they'd rather be dragged off the field. You know, we saw that happen with Brett Favre. He wouldn't stop coming back until he was literally had to be carried off the field. But just to kind of recap Russell Westbrook's career and his impact on the league here, spent 2 years at UCLA in college. He was selected number 4 overall in the 2008 NBA draft by, people forget, the Seattle Supersonics at that time. But that franchise actually moved. So he actually never played in that city. They moved to Oklahoma City that summer. And he, you know, quickly, obviously, emerged as, you know, one of the faces of that franchise early in his career. He spent the bulk of his career there, as we all know, 11 seasons with the Thunder. He played alongside Kevin Durant, James Harden. We all know what that team did in 2012 when they made it to the they got the Western Conference title. They did make it to the NBA Finals, ultimately losing to the Miami Heat in 4 games. So they were swept. But he was only 23 years old. They were in their early 20s when that happened. And so, you know, it honestly was just amazing to see a young team like that be able to have the impact that they had, you know, early in their careers. And, you know, obviously they never made it back. There was a lot that happened amongst the three of them. You know, Westbrook, he got injured a few times. Obviously, the team ultimately ended up, you know, kind of breaking up because Harden was always that, you know, if we all remember, Harden was that sixth man that came off the bench, but he was always lighting it up. But we all knew at some point in time that, you know, he was going to want to have his own kind of role as a starter. And so ultimately that's what happened when he was traded. And, you know, once he was traded to the Rockets, Westbrook, he actually tore his meniscus in the first round of the 2013 playoffs. And then Durant had a foot fracture that ended their 2015 run. And they also, you know, in 2016, they lost in a dramatic fashion to the Golden State Warriors in 2016 playoffs, 7-game series. So after that, you know, Durant, we all know he left and went to the Warriors. And then we all know what kind of beef that happened between the both of them. But, you know, that's kind of just the backstory on that. But just to talk about some of his records here, he not only set the NBA single season record for triple doubles with 42, but he also holds the mark for the most career triple doubles in NBA history with 209. So the next person behind him is Jokic, Nikola Jokic with 198, and then Oscar Robertson with 181. Followed by Magic Johnson with 138. So, you know, he is, you know, obviously in a league of his own in that area. Now, Jokic isn't too far behind him, but Russell Westbrook is at the top of the mound right now. And again, he actually became the first player since Oscar Robertson. And then this is in the 2016-2017 season. He became the first player since Oscar Robertson in 1962 to average a triple-double for a full season. So he put up 31, 10 rebounds and 10 assists, and he also captured the MVP award. And again, he had 42 triple-doubles that season. So, and just a little bit more about Russell Westbrook. He's a nine-time All-Star. He has a career average of 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 8 assists per game. And, you know, he also, he scored the fourth most career points among players to never win an NBA championship. Because we all know Russ, unfortunately, you know, he wasn't able to win a championship, but he is fourth among, you know, fourth most among players to never win a championship. So Karl Malone is number one. James Harden is number two. Carmelo Anthony. And then you got Russell Westbrook with 27,176 points. So he also retires, again, fifth in NBA history in career assist. So it's behind John Stockton, Chris Paul, Jason Kidd, and LeBron. And he is 14th on the NBA's career scoring list with the points, again, I just mentioned. And the only three active players ahead of him are LeBron, KD, and Harden. So, again, big ups to Russell Westbrook, man. It was a great ride, fun to watch Russ, you know, somebody who played with a lot of passion and emotion on the NBA basketball court. And so he'll definitely be missed, you know, during the NBA season. But shout out to him being able to go out the right way. And I'm sure he'll find maybe a coaching opportunity or media opportunity somewhere. So, you know, shout out to Russ and congratulations on a fantastic career. With that being said, let's transition here. But before that, you are listening to the Lace Up Sports Talk podcast right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and, of course, YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button below. Also, make sure you follow the Instagram page. You should see it below there in the banner. And also, again, make sure, again, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can get updates on whenever I post, whenever I go live. And feel free to make sure you comment in the comment section. Any thoughts, any comments on anything that's covered or anything you would love to hear on the next episode. Again, appreciate all the love and support, and we're going to keep this thing rolling. So, again, let's jump back into it. Let's talk about some other news that came out in the football world, and this is specifically around Jaden Daniels in LSU. So Jaden Daniels actually sent a cease and desist to LSU over the number 5 jersey. So I'll read for you guys kind of what's going on here in case you wanted to get caught up on this story. Again, there's an attorney representing Jaden Daniels, and they pretty much informed LSU that they can no longer use his name, image, and likeness. Again, this was a letter that was sent on August the 5th, so last week, sent to the LSU Tigers athletic director, Virge Ash at Osbury. And pretty much what's going on here is, you know, Jaden Daniels, you know, they have an issue with LSU allowing their sophomore cornerback DJ Pickett to wear the number 5 jersey. Obviously, we know Jaden Daniels wore number 5 when he was at LSU when he became their third Heisman Trophy winner in 2023. And again, his jersey has not been retired by LSU, and this is the first time that the number 5 has been worn since Jaden Daniels actually left LSU for the NFL. And here's a statement that the family put out. It says the Daniels family is deeply disappointed and feels profoundly disrespected by LSU's decision to give Jaden's number to another player. It says Jaden and his family had every reason to believe that his number would remain a meaningful part of his LSU legacy and would be honored and protected in recognition of his extraordinary contributions to the university. Now, DJ Pickett, he actually, the cornerback who's gotten his number, he wore number 3 during his first season with LSU in 2025, and he was named Freshman All-American. He led LSU with 3 interceptions, 37 tackles, and 524 defensive snaps. And again, this year he was, promised that he would be able to wear number 5. And they opened preseason practice where he had the number on, and this is what kind of sparked this whole, situation. Lane Kiffin was obviously asked about this. He said, he didn't really have any, too much to say on it. I mean, he said, hey, look, Pickett was promised his number. This is the number he's going to wear. But also within that statement that I read earlier from the Jaden Daniels camp, it says that he made it clear that he did not want his number given to another player. And he believed his wishes would be respected. And says his Heisman Trophy winning season and everything he accomplished on and off the field cemented his place in LSU history. To see his number given to another player is incredibly disappointing and feels like a failure to honor the significance of what Jaden accomplished at LSU. And obviously, this point got brought up about Joe Burrow, his number 9 jersey. Nobody has worn the number 9 jersey since 2019. We all know he won the Heisman. They went 15-0, undefeated season, national championship. And the LSU athletic department declined to speak on this matter. So here are my thoughts on this situation. I honestly, first and foremost, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that this is even a situation or discussion. And if you ask me, no disrespect to Jaden Daniels' family, but this kind of has his mom's name written all over it. When they say an attorney, quote unquote, we all know Jaden Daniels' mom is his, attorney. I feel like she's more so behind this than Jaden is. And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I feel like, at this point in career, you're going into your third NFL season, right? Why does this even matter? Yes, you won the Heisman. It was cool. Obviously, and again, not to take away from anything Jaden Daniels done, they didn't win the national championship. I think the year, even when he won the Heisman, I think LSU had 3 losses or something like that when he won the Heisman. Now, he lit it up, but, they did have like 3 losses that year. And again, people are bringing up the whole Joe Burrow, nobody wore his number since 2019. But they fail to realize this. Joe Burrow's number's not retired. His number is free game. I know that apparently he was told that nobody apparently I saw something out there that he was told. I guess he was asked about it after the Bengals preseason game, and he was told that nobody would wear his number. But I guarantee you, first and foremost, who's really asking for the number 9 to begin with? I don't really see a lot of people asking to wear number 9 in to begin with. But I guarantee you, if there was a number 1 recruit situation and they wanted to wear the number 9, I guarantee you that they would find a way to make that happen. They probably would, depending on who it is. But who the jersey number situation is just, it's just pointless to me. I who cares? LSU, they've retired 5 players' jerseys in their program history, right? You had Billy Cannon, number 20, Jerry Stovall, number 21, Tommy Casanova, number 37, Charles Alexander, number 4, and Burt Jones, number 7. Even in those players' jerseys who's been retired, guess whose numbers have been – those numbers have been reworn again. Burt Jones, number 7, for example. Tyrann Mathieu wore number 7. Leonard Fournette wore number 7. So what are we talking about? LSU, again, they make an official distinction between retiring a jersey, which honors the player in the Ring of Honor, and retiring a number, which bans future players from wearing it. They don't really do that. They'll retire jersey number, but there's nothing that bans anybody from wearing it. So I honestly think that this whole situation is pointless. Again, feel how you feel about it. Michael Irvin actually, put out a great statement that he didn't care if CeeDee Lamb wore his number. You want to know why? Because if he missed a pass or if he dropped a pass or anything like that, he said, look, everybody will say, oh, well, Michael Irvin wouldn't drop that pass. if CeeDee Lamb makes a great catch, oh, Michael Irvin used to do the same thing. So he's getting, no matter what happens, good or bad, he's getting recognized and remembered for his jersey number. Who cares? Like, I'm sure that they'll put the jersey in the ring of honor and all this situation, but why are we even having this type of discussion? I just think it's pointless. I think it's this is not even a situation that you feel disrespected because somebody's wearing the number 5. Like, come on, man. Look, all I got to say is we don't have these problems in Alabama. Devontae Smith, you won the Heisman, number 6. Kevin Riley is wearing number 6 right now at Alabama. Other players where we don't have those problems at Bama. But again, Bama is just built different. We don't care about the jersey number stuff. We care about winning championships. So why are we even talking about this? That's all I got to say. And matter of fact, I'll end with this in the words of Major Vincent Winifred Payne.
Stop babying him.
Again, one more time in the words of Major Vincent Winifred Payne.
Stop babying him.
And that's all I got to say about that. So moving on, let's talk about somebody who got a big payday in the NFL. I'm talking about Detroit Lions running back Jahmyr Gibbs. Former Alabama running back, by the way, built by Bama. I know he plays for the enemy in Detroit, but, you know, Gibbs is still my guy from Alabama. He received a contract extension that made him the highest paid running back in NFL history. They reached an agreement on Thursday on a 3-year, $67.5 million deal. That could be worth up to $75 million and includes $51.5 million guaranteed. So this deal actually surpasses the extension that Bijan Robinson signed with the Atlanta Falcons earlier in the week. His extension, talking about Bijan Robinson, his extension is for 3 years and $66.7 million and could be worth up to $75 million, including a $51 million guarantee at the signing. And so the $22.25 million average annual value of Robinson's contract made him the NFL's third running back to get more than $20 million a year in an extension, along with Jonathan Taylor, who's getting $22 million, and then Saquon Barkley, who's getting $20.6 million. So again, Friday, they announced that Gibbs, obviously, he signed his extension. And just a little background on Gibbs, since he was drafted number 12 in 2023, at the age of Gibbs, who's 24 right now, he's emerged as obviously he's been one of the most productive backs, and especially offensive players. He split snaps with Dave Montgomery throughout his time in Detroit, but he still, even throughout the split snaps, has 49 career touchdowns. So he, in 3 years, he pretty much has 50 touchdowns. I mean, that's the most in NFL history for a player through his first 3 seasons, surpassing, there was a previous mark that was actually held by Barry Sanders. He had 47. So Gibbs, he currently has 3,580 rushing yards, which are the 22nd most for any player in years 1 through 3 since yard statistics were first recorded in 1932. That's outstanding. And finally, he is one of 19 players to post at least 3,500 rushing yards and 600 receiving yards to start a career. That boy good. Look, that reminds me of on Friday Night Lights when he was talking about when Boobie Miles' dad was talking about him. He said he could catch, spin, shake him. And he can pass. So look, Gibbs can do it all, man. I'm not surprised at all, man. Gibbs was he was a beast in college, and he continues to show that in the NFL. And last season, he finished 5th in the league with 1,839 yards from scrimmage, and also he had 616 yards receiving and a second in total touchdowns with 18. He also had 77 receptions, 616, again, receiving yards, like I mentioned, and 5 touchdown catches, which were career highs. So obviously with Dave Montgomery gone, he's going to have an increased workload. So for all my fantasy football players out there, definitely want to target Jahmyr Gibbs if he's available. Shout out to Jahmyr Gibbs, and you always love to see the running back, position get paid, in value. Again, with that being said, you are listening to Lace Up Sports Talk podcast right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button below. You also can search the YouTube channel. You see it in the banner down there. And also, please make sure to follow the Lace Up Instagram page. You will be notified once you subscribe, once you follow the page. Obviously, you'll be notified whenever an episode goes live, wherever a new post gets posted. And also make sure you comment in the comment section as well. Appreciate all the love and support the continued, encouragement and everything that you all continue to display for me. And as we wrap out our time together, I wanted to quickly touch on something that my head coach, Ben Johnson, said about the Chicago Bears for this year. He said, look, he obviously is setting the bar high for the Bears. He said, look, he wants to be the highest scoring. He not only wants to win the Super Bowl, but he wants to go further than that. He wants to have the highest scoring offense ever, which right now happens to be the Denver Broncos from 2013. He says, look, I know how many points per game they scored. It was 37.9, and he wants to surpass them. He wants shutouts. He wants blowouts. And obviously, last year the Bears, they went 11-6, NFC North title. Again, this is their first season under Ben Johnson, who's an offensive-minded guy. We saw what they were able to do. They did finish sixth in the NFL in total offense with 369 yards a game and 25.9, so just under 26 points a game behind Caleb Williams. And obviously, we know that, Ben Johnson has been a huge fan of Caleb Williams. He's praised him. And, the question really posed itself, and he said, Ben Johnson said this too. He says he also cited the Super Bowl winning New England Patriots from 2003 and 2004, who at one point they won 21 consecutive games between regular season and postseason. And he says, look, why can't we do that? There's never been an undefeated season since the NFL expanded its schedule to more than 14 regular season games. So he says the moon is the Super Bowl, but we're shooting beyond that for the stars. And I want these players to feel that each and every single day they come in. So the question poses itself, can the Bears do it? 100% yes. Yes, the Bears can do it. You see what the Bears have on offensively in Luther Burden, Colson Loveland. You have DeAndre Swift, who's been balling, Kyle Manungai. You got Roma Dunze. There's weapons all around. Jahdae Walker. It's a lot. Khalif Raymond. There's weapons all around Caleb Williams. Just signed Ray McLeod as well, another speedster. So there's a lot of speed kills. And I think that Ben Johnson has put that mentality into these players. And I think that, ultimately, can they do it? Yes, they can do it. This is not something that I think is out of reach for the Bears. And I think that they're more than capable of being able to accomplish something like that. Will it happen this season? Who knows? But as Michael Jordan said, the ceiling is the roof. And that's a quote straight from the GOAT. The ceiling is the roof. So with that being said, yes, I think it's doable. I think that the Bears are going to shock. A lot of people, they come out and say, hey, the Bears are the number one regression candidate. But whatever, of course, they're going to talk their talk. But I think that this team is well conditioned to be able to do what they did last year and improve what they did last year and be even better. And I couldn't be more excited to be able to see that. But with that being said, that's all I have for y'all, man. I appreciate everybody tuning in for this episode. Again, appreciate all the love, all the support that you guys show me. Can't end any episode couldn't end this episode without expressing that. And again, we'll be back to do it all again Excited to kick back and watch some football this weekend. Whatever you do, whatever you decide to do, make sure you're safe and make sure you stay hydrated, because it's hot out here, y'all. But look, peace, love, blessings. I'm out.